This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Audrey Raj and I'm in the studios today with
Angeline Tay. And what do we have on today's show? Well, I'm actually really excited about one of my favorite cartoon channels getting into ebooks, and Alibaba is taking aggressive expansion to a whole different level with its new acquisition. All that is coming up a little later, but first, some stories on Uber.
Indeed. So the first story of the day, Uber for truck delivery startup EasyHaul has raised roughly $840,000 in seed funding to expand its market presence this year. Now, if you weren't aware already, this is a Singapore-based firm and its investment came from a group of logistics industry leaders, but it declined to name its actual investors.
The service is already active in Singapore and Malaysia, and what it does is get transport companies to do deliveries for its clients. It calculates the fee and takes a cut. It also allows shippers to track the movement of the truck, receive photos of the cargo and proof of delivery, and get an invoice digitally.
So EasyHaul now has about 500 trucks on its platform and more than 45 active shippers, including DB Schenker Ninja Van. And apparently its delivery volume is growing 80% month over month. That's just amazing. So the team now wants to grow further in Malaysia and roll out into other markets like Indonesia and Thailand within, maybe the first 6 months of this year.
EasyHaul's three co-founders, Raymond Gillen, Mudassar Mohamed, and Nikki Lam, they're all logistic veterans and they know the industry. They've occupied top posts at global logistics and transport company UTI. So after hearing firsthand from clients about challenges of this fragmented trucking industry, the trio decided to start their own firm.
And you know, if you look at it from the shipper side, EasyHaul makes booking a truck as easy as booking a car on Uber or Grab. Did you know that they actually work with predictive analysis to see when the trucks will arrive at the client's location? It's really cool. In this way, they can inform clients if there are deviations or delays. So no more unexpected surprises and far fewer problems when trucks arrive early or late.
EasyHaul currently competes with startups like iCargo and Delorry. Delorry, though, offers a range of services including home moving, while EasyHaul only does enterprise work focusing on long haul and it doesn't touch last mile deliveries. So we spoke to Delorry, some time ago. So if you're curious about these startups, go check out our podcast at bfm.my or via our BFM app.
Yes, and now we have another story on Uber, the real Uber this time.
Yep. Uber is opening in an area where, if you think about it, it might make more sense competitively for it to stay more closed off. It's launched its new website called Movement, which will offer access to its data around traffic flow so that city planners and researchers can look into ways to improve urban mobility.
So basically, the idea is that, we know Uber has a lot of insight into how traffic works within a city, and it can, make anonymous this data so that it isn't tied to specific individuals in most cases. So they just have the data, but no details, right? So where that's possible, Uber is going to begin sharing this data first to specific organizations who apply for early access and then eventually to the general public. They're just sharing this data.
And they apparently realized that all the data it was gathering could be used for public benefit and decided to assemble a product team to make this happen. And from all their efforts, they came up with the Movement, which they hope will give the city officials and urban planners the necessary traffic information they need to make the right decision when they make transport-related changes and improvements.
It also wants to do this in a way that it makes it easy for organizations to work with. So it's releasing the data organized around traffic zones within cities. Users of the website will actually be able to adjust things like the time of day, the day of the week, and the zones that they want the data and actually download that data.
Yeah, Uber says it's looking at also releasing access to the data as an API, but it's trying to figure out how to do it in a performant way at this stage.
No doubt, Uber releasing this kind of data publicly is going to raise some eyebrows because of privacy concerns. That's the first thing I always think about. But the company stresses that it's ensuring user privacy by only offering data where it can successfully aggregate this data and it will be anonymous. So for parts of the city where it determines that there isn't enough data to properly protect driver and passenger identities, it simply just won't release the results for queries.
And another question is why Uber would bother at all? Because, its ability to accurately map traffic demand is part of the reason it's able able to do demand prediction well. And like we mentioned earlier, this is the core competitive advantage for it in the ride sharing business.
Yeah.
But Uber, however, says that this is because it wants to do some good in the cities where it operates and stands to benefit from infrastructure improvements in cities.
Well, more efficient transportation means more efficient Uber service delivery, and that of course means happier customers, and of course more people will use Uber. So so it totally makes sense, right? Okay, we have some music for you before we go into our next story. Here's Kids by MGMT, Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
It's Biz Bytes with Audrey and Angie. Angie, I've got a very important, serious question to ask you. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Yeah.
Well, I never thought we would talk about Nickelodeon on a show about business and SMEs, but this is why you should tune in to Biz Bytes. You never know what you're going to get.
Nickelodeon!
Oh, the memories. That was life in a nutshell for every 90s kid out there. Anyways, Kids TV Network Nickelodeon is already very familiar with the digital space, and they have a lineup of over 40 preschool apps and games on their own in-house streaming service called Noggin, which launched in 2015. They're loving the success, and to keep the momentum going, Nick is making its move into e-books.
E-books.
So the kid-centric company has launched its first ever reading app for kids, which brings interactive stories from their favorite Nick characters to your iPhone and iPad.
Now, I know you're thinking e-book isn't anything new, but in fact, e-books were like the first moves from physical form into digital space. Mm-hmm. And you're right, but Nick isn't slow to catch up. They're just taking advantage of a research interest in e-storytelling for kids. And in November, Apple revealed its own iBook Storytime app for Apple TV. And even Amazon has a new chatline reading app called Rapids, which also just arrived from Fire tablets, iOS, and Android. So yes, ebooks are not new, but parents and kids are going back to basics when it comes to kids' entertainment.
And Nick's new ebook venture, which they're simply calling Nick Junior Books, is even more old school than Apple or Amazon. It's a collection of stories which can be either read out loud to kids by parents, or kids can choose to read the stories to themselves. So there's even a full automatic mode where the pages will turn themselves, making it fun and engaging for kids.
And of course, the books have interactive elements that the kids can tap on to open up bios and other mini stories, just some extra fun to keep them interested. And to encourage more reading, the kids' reading progress is rewarded with things like stars and badges to make it more like a simple game for them.
I don't know why they didn't have this during my time. Well, you know, keep in mind that even though the venture is quite traditional in a sense, the biggest advantage is it has over competitors that it has the Nickelodeon brand attached to it, right? And that's huge. It's like Disney or Cartoon Network, where kids already know and love these characters and will want to have more of them via any new platform they can get. And I mean, you have your Dora and SpongeBob and things like the Power Patrol, so you know they won't have problems selling these established characters to kids and parents alike.
And speaking of parents, the app can be synced to mom or dad's Apple Watch, and they'll receive tips about what stories their kids are reading. And these questions and hints will pop up on the watches to help parents engage with their kids and talk to them about the stories that they've just read, which is awesome because, let's face it, working adults might not have the time to watch a full episode of Dora the Explorer, but they can still interact and bond with their kids over these stories by getting quick tips and questions sent to them. And the kids will love knowing their parents are into these characters as well.
Yeah, so kudos to Nickelodeon for this. It's, I don't know, I think it's just genius. Anyway, an offline mode lets you download the stories so that kids can read them even when there's no Wi-Fi, like say in the car or on a plane. And at the moment, Nick Jr. Books ships with 3 free titles, but there are 49 more available for in-app purchases at $2.99 USD a pop. Although that's a lot cheaper than their hard-bound counterparts, the price still feels a bit too steep to encourage too many book-buying sprees, if you think about it, right? But maybe they'll have bundle sales around holiday seasons. Who knows?
Yeah, and the app itself is free to download on iTunes, so if you'd like to check it out for your little ones, or even if you're an adult and would like to reconnect with that kid on the inside, feel free to give it a go.
Anyway, time to be adults again and talk about businesses buying other businesses, you know? We have to be adults sometimes. We've got one more story coming up, and it's all about Alibaba making a big buy for $2.6 billion. Want to know more? Stick around. BizBytes will be right back.
Bankers, financiers, and moneymakers. BFM 89.9.
We're back on Enterprise Biz Bytes. This is Audrey Raj. Angie Tay is in the studios with me. Before we head on to our final story, CIT is having an exclusive Qatar Airways promo fares. Now, take the opportunity to enjoy low fares by booking on CIT's website today from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Visit www.cit.travel right now.
All right. And our final story, beyond online, Alibaba is continuing its effort to get into offline retail. And this comes after they launched a $2.6 billion offer to fully acquire In Time, and hashtag Alibaba can't stop, won't stop.
This wasn't a surprise, actually, because like 3 years ago, Alibaba bought a 20% stake in the firm for about $700 million. But now they are bidding to buy it outright and delist it from the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. The question is, why this company, In Time in particular, right? So In Time operates more than 20 department stores and 10 plus shopping malls across urban China. This buy is like a steroid boost for Alibaba to get a strong offline foothold immediately.
Yeah, and many believe that online and offline commerce to be at odds with one another. But the strategy for Alibaba is to focus on offline to online, not the other way around. Well, you know, online e-commerce giant buying offline retail, but it's just to channel more of this brick and mortar into the digital world.
And if you look at it from a bigger picture point of view, right, Alibaba with In Time now can potentially change the retail sphere in China. In Time aside, Alibaba invested more than $4 billion to buy up to 20% of retail giant Suning in a deal that was also made in 2015.
Yeah, and their objective is also for retailers to make use of their services beyond just to reach new customers, but improve management on inventories, offer more compelling marketing and promotions, integrate digital payments, and also make their engagement with consumers longer lasting.
Yeah, I mean, China's retail sector is worth what, $4.5 trillion, and is growing at a more than 10% rate a year. So Alibaba said that they don't divide the world into real or virtual economies, but only the old and the new. They added that those who cling on to the old ways of retailing will be disrupted. I take this as a warning to all other retailers.
Yeah. And what do you think of the current retail scene here in Malaysia? And just this morning, our Morning Run producer, Sean An, spoke to Jeremy Goh. He's a senior analyst at Hong Leong Investment Bank. And he said that retail space per capita in KL is currently at 18 square feet. This is higher than our neighboring countries like Singapore, which is at 12 square feet per capita, and Bangkok at 9 square feet per capita. So currently, we are at a mall oversupply situation in KL. And do you really feel the need to get into virtual space, and what's stopping you? WhatsApp us if you're in the retail industry at 016-201-9000.
You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. That's our handle. And I guess that's all we have on our show today. Coming up next, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. And this morning, the Morning Run crew had a special show this morning following the news of the passing of Tan Sri Adnan Satim. You know, we were all shocked when we heard that yesterday. They spoke to a panel of guests, the likes of Ben Sofian and Dato' Dr. Haji Wan Junaidi Tunku Jaffa, to celebrate the Sarawak Chief Minister's life and his work as a politician and policymaker. So that's next at 12:30 p.m. This has been Enterprise Bits Bytes. Thank you for listening. I'm Audrey Raj.
And I'm Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.